Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. We bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified. Be exalted. Be magnified. Thank you, Jesus.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. So you can't fall in love.
Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. Falling in love with Jesus.
Protected
in his arms.
Oh yes,
I feel protected.
Oh, oh, oh.
In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms,
I feel again, in his arms I feel,
in his arms,
oh yes,
I feel protected,
and
in his arms,
oh yes,
never disconnected, in his arms,
I feel protected. Father, we thank you tonight. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray that for the time we're spending in your presence tonight, right here at the Restoration Center, we ask, oh God, that you will touch every one of us and bless us. I pray that you'll open our eyes to see wondrous and amazing things in your word. May your name be glorified. And in Jesus' name have I prayed with thanksgiving. Let everybody say amen. Hallelujah. Would you like to put your hands together for Jesus? Amen and amen. All right. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Where do we want to read from? All right, let's start reading from verse number 8. From the New Living Translation, please. It says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Verse 13 is the verse that we are looking for. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let's read verse 13 from the New King James Version. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And if you read from the NIV verse 13, it says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Now, this month, February, is a month of love. And the reason is very simple, because it is in the month of February that Valentine's Day falls. So a lot of people refer to the month of February as a month of love. For us as a church, we have declared February as a month of marriage, family, and relationship enrichment. Amen. We've declared it a month of marriage, a month of family, and a month of relationship enrichment. And what we are aiming to do this month is to teach a bit more about marriage, about family, and then about relationships in general, with the hope and expectation that we will be enriched in our knowledge about these three very important relationships. Amen. Is it a good idea? All right. And then on the 15th of February, which is the day after Valentine's Day, we are going to have what we call It All Comes Down to Love service. All right? It all comes down to love service. So because February is a month of love, I wanted to start off today and share with you a sermon with the title, Why Love is the Greatest. Why Love is the Greatest. Why Love is the Greatest. And we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I alerted you that the verse that we are interested in is verse number 13. Now, in this verse of the Bible, three of the very important qualities or traits that must be in the life of a believer were mentioned or identified. These are three very important virtues that must be present in the life of every child of God: faith, hope, and love. Everybody say with me, faith, hope, and love. Say it one more time. Faith, hope, and love. And these are three very important qualities and traits that are so essential in the life of every child of God. Now, faith is important because without it, you cannot please God. There are not so many things that are spoken about expressly and so categorically that without those things, you cannot please God. Faith is one of the things that is clearly spoken about. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Did you see that? All right. And it's very clear. There's no ambiguity about this. And it continues and says, anyone who wants, to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So faith is very important because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Another reason why faith is important is because look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Give me the New King James Version, please. It says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So grace is what saves us. But the channel through which the grace of God reaches us is the channel of faith. So what it means is that without faith, you cannot be saved. And that's why the Bible also explains to us that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts, which is faith, that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Amen. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. All right. So these are just but two examples where it's clear that faith is very, very important. And as a believer, you can't do without faith. Then hope is also important because hope is what gives you strength and the ability to hold on in times of trials, in times of uncertainty, and even in times of delay. I mean, without hope, you will be lost. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 19. New Living Translation, Hebrews 6, verse 19. It says, this hope, and we are talking about hope, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So here you can see that hope is being described as a strong and trustworthy anchor. Hallelujah. An anchor is a part of a ship that holds it in place so that it does not drift away. So when it has stopped, in the middle of the sea or it has docked, what is done is that the anchor is lowered so that it will keep it in place and it will not drift. Because the sea waves, as you see them, are very, very strong. And if you don't have an anchor in place, before you realize, the ship that was supposed to be at the Tema port will be at the Takoradi port. And the reason is because the anchor was not in place. And ladies and gentlemen, our hope is what holds us in place. And it helps us to keep pressing on and persevering. It gives us strength. And it gives us the ability to hold on in challenging times of our lives. So definitely, faith is important. And hope is also very important. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it goes ahead and speaks about another quality or trait or virtue apart from faith and hope. It goes on and now it speaks about love. And then it does something very interesting. It is quick to explain to us that of these three powerful qualities and traits, love is the greatest. It said, and now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who inspired the Apostle Paul to write this statement. And there must be a good reason why it was written. So then it poses a question for us, which is a question of why is love the greatest? Why is love the greatest? And my mission tonight is to attempt to show to all of us today why love is the greatest. The first reason why love is the greatest is because it is at the core of God's nature. Love is at the core of God's nature. It's the center of God's nature. That is why love is the greatest. You ask me, Pastor, why is love the greatest? It is the greatest because love is at the very core of God's nature. You cannot talk about God's nature without talking about love. It is central and it is key to his very nature. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. Why is love the greatest? Because at the core of God's nature is love. And in 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. Can you read the last part of the verse with me? Ready, go. For God is love. For God is love. For God is love. Now notice that it didn't say that for God has love. That's not what it said. Neither did it say that God shows love. It didn't say that God has love. It didn't say that God shows love. It says emphatically that God is love. Hallelujah. Say with me, God is love. In other words, if you want to describe God, if you want to talk about him, if you want to explain who God is, you must of necessity refer to love. Because God is love. It's like saying God is equal to love. And love describes who God is. So when the Bible says anyone who does not love does not know God, it means that when we walk in love, what we are actually doing is that we are reflecting God's nature of love. Hallelujah. So love is the greatest because it is at the very core of God's nature. Amen. If you take faith, faith describes how we relate with God. That's what faith describes, how we relate with God. Then if you talk about hope, it describes what we expect from God. But then when you talk about love, it describes who God is. I'll say it again. Faith describes how we relate to God. Hope describes what we expect from God. But love describes who God is. So definitely love must be the greatest. Hallelujah. Number two, why is love the greatest? Love is the greatest because God's love is the reason why salvation was made possible. God's love is the reason why salvation was made possible. It is because of God's love that you and I are saved. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And don't you forget that I am sharing with you on the subject why love is the greatest. And it is important for us to understand this. And if indeed we are labeling February as the month of love, I think that it is very much in order to talk about love and understand what it is. And the second reason why love is the greatest is because God's love is the reason why salvation was made possible. Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus Christ was sent to die for us, to save us and to redeem us. And what drove that act? What inspired that act? What influenced that act was God's great love for us. Without it, we would not have been saved. Amen. Then let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. John 3, 16 to 17, New King James Version, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here we are made to understand why God gave his only begotten Son. Go back to verse 16. So if somebody were to ask you, you go out on evangelism and you talk to people about how God sent Jesus to come and die for us and to save us. If the person you are witnessing to were to ask you, but why did God send Jesus? What will your answer be? I didn't hear you. Because God so loved us. And the world is you and I. So when it talks about the world, it's not talking about the cosmic space. It is talking about you and I. That God loved us. And because of that love, and it says, for God so loved the world. It didn't say for God loved the world. It's trying to reveal to us the extent of the love. So it says he so loved the world. And the evidence of that love is that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen, that salvation was not driven by obligation. God was not obliged to save us. And he didn't have to save us. Because let's face it, to a very large extent, we are nothing. That's the truth. What were we made from? Dust. And that is why when God appeared in the Garden of Eden after the high treason committed by Adam and Eve, in his rebuke of Adam, he told him that you will become like dust, because dust you are, and dust you shall be, and dust you shall return to. So the truth is that you and I are nothing. Which is the reason why it is very funny when we conduct ourselves with so much pride and arrogance. Because dust is manifesting. You're nothing. That's the truth and that's the reality. Which is why the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? So the psalmist is expressing awe and shock and amazement that God is actually thinking about man. Because what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? I'm trying to get you to understand that God was under no compulsion to save us. And he was not obliged to save us. And he did not save us out of anger. Neither did he save us by force. You know how sometimes you can do something for somebody out of anger. Have you ever given money to somebody out of anger before? Maybe the person was harassing you. And then you got bored. Say, come and collect and go. Come and collect and go. Now, you gave money to the person, but there was a lot of anger behind that action that you took. And God did not save us out of anger. He did not save us out of obligation. He did not save us out of force. Nobody forced him to do that. God's move to save us was driven by love. It was driven by love. That's why we can sing songs like Odoye Mente Ase, Odoye Mente Ase, Majin Kwani Doye Emuye Duro, Odoye Ya Wawa Do. It's difficult to understand it. And ladies and gentlemen, our salvation was driven by love. And love is the greatest because it is the reason why salvation was made possible. Without love, there would have been no cross. Without love, the love of God, there would have been no redemption. Without the love of God, without love, there would have been no mercy. Without the love of God, there would have been no grace. Without the love of God, there would have been no forgiveness. So what drove God to work out our salvation and to come up with the redemption plan was his love for us. So ladies and gentlemen, love is the greatest because God's love is the reason why salvation was made possible. Hallelujah. Why is love the greatest? Number three. Love is the greatest because love is the measure by which all else is valued. Love is the measure by which all else, or by which everything else, is valued. So it makes love the greatest. It gives us one of the reasons why love is the greatest. It is the measure by which all else is valued. And the proof of this we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. And it reads, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." It would just be noise. If we speak with tongues, but then we do not love others, it's just irritating noise. It continues and says, "If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." The summary of these three verses we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that without love being the motive and the driving force behind everything that we do, everything that we do will be useless or valueless. That it is the motive of love that makes whatever we do valuable, particularly in the sight of God. Amen. So it means that whatever good works you set out to do, or in your exercise of your spiritual gifts, if love is not what is driving or pushing or influencing you, whatever you are doing is of no value before God. So the conclusion we can arrive at based on what I just shared with you is that love must be the greatest. Look at some of the things that are described. It talks about the ability to prophesy. And I'm assuming that it is referring to accurate prophecies, where you prophesy and it is accurate. There is no mistake about it. I think that one of the very intriguing gifts of the Spirit is the gift of prophecy. It's very fascinating. I'm fascinated when I see prophets operating their gift. And because of the supernatural dimension of it, you will realize that prophets get a lot of attention. And they draw a lot of people. But may I submit to you, my friends, that if somebody can prophesy accurately and tell you things about yourself that only you know, and let's even say without admitting that it is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm talking about a correct prophet. A correct prophet who is not prophesying by familiar spirits, or who is not using mediums and fortune tellers, you know, to do his ministry. I'm talking about a prophet who is prophesying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is saying that such a prophet, if love is not what is motivating his prophecy, if love is not what is driving how he's relating with people through prophecy, then that prophetic gift that he has is valueless. Hallelujah. Then it also talks about having faith to move mountains. Now, such faith must be very great faith. Because even a grain of sand, you've not been able to move by your faith. Now, you have somebody who has faith to be able to move mountains. That must be a great thing. But the Bible says that if I have faith, able to move mountains, and yet I have not love, I am nothing. Then he goes on to explain, if I gave everything I have to the poor, so you sell everything that you have, you sell your house, you sell your car. Do you remember that rich man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was very rich, and Jesus told him that, well, you're a good guy, you have good intentions, all right? But you need to go and sell everything that you have. Give the money to the poor and come and follow me. And the guy was very sad. It was a very difficult thing. It's not an easy thing to sell everything that you have. But the Bible is saying that if you were to do this and you gave everything to the poor and you do not have love, it doesn't profit you. Or if you were to even sacrifice your body, present your body, maybe an issue comes up and it is like to demonstrate your commitment to Christ, it is required that you are, because if you read the story of some of the martyrs of the Christian faith, they were burnt at the stake, and they chose to be burnt at the stake. Many of them were given the opportunity to denounce Christ or renounce Christ so that they would be set free. And they refused it. And the Bible is saying that if you were even to do something like that, but you do not have love, it won't profit you. That's serious. And what this should tell you is that it is possible to do a lot of good things, admirable things, but love may not be the motive behind it. Do you know that there are some people, when they do things for you, it is so that you will be indebted to them, and so they will take advantage of you? Do you think that the politicians who give money to delegates and all of those things, they care about the delegates? Not at all. They are housing the delegates, feeding them. Then when it is time for them to go, they give everybody an envelope, fat envelope with money in it. And even after doing all of those things, they don't win. They lose. You you cannot look at those things that they were doing and say that they really love the delegates. They were really concerned about the delegates. It's nothing like that. They have their own selfish reasons and interests why they are doing what they are doing. And the Bible is saying that if you were to give your body to be sacrificed and you do not love others, it profits you nothing. So ladies and gentlemen, love is the greatest because it is the measure by which everything else, by which all else is valued. Number four, and we will be ending. Love is the greatest because the true sign of a follower of Christ is love. Love is the greatest because the true sign of a follower of Christ is love. John 13, verse 34 to 35. It says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Then he goes on and makes a profound statement. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. What will be the proof that you are a follower of Jesus? Your love for others. Your love for your brother, your love for your sister. That is what proves that you are a disciple, that you are a follower of Jesus. So that is the litmus test for all of us. If we claim to be the followers of Jesus, then our love life must be very great. If you don't love others, if you don't love your brother, if you don't love your sister, if you don't walk in love, it raises questions of whose follower you are. Because if you are indeed a follower of Christ, you are his disciple, then you will be somebody who walks in love. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not easily provoked. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures. That is love. So you cannot say that you are actually a follower and a disciple of Jesus until your love life is intense. And notice that he did not say that you are my follower if you go to church. You are my disciple if you serve in church. You are my disciple if you sing in the choir. You are my disciple if you are busy, involved in work in the house of God. He didn't say that. He didn't say that when you pray with all kinds of huge tongues, it means that you are a disciple. Because we like a lot of the show things. You know? And we like to do things to portray ourselves in a certain way. But all those things count for nothing. The real test of your discipleship is your love for the brethren. So when people offend you and hurt you, what is your response? When somebody is in your power to harm the person, or maybe the person has done something against you and you are in a position to revenge, but how do you respond? What do you do? That thing that you do reveals a lot about you. Are you the kind of person who curses people at the slightest provocation? You release curses on people. It does not show somebody who is walking in love. And therefore, it raises questions of whether you are really a follower of Jesus. And I say this without any apology. Anybody who is quick to harm others, to hurt others, to insult others, to curse others, I don't think that you are a follower of Christ. It's very straightforward. Hallelujah. So you see, our loudest testimony as Christians and believers is love. That's our loudest testimony. So love is the greatest, because the true sign of a follower of Christ is love. Hallelujah. Number five, and this is the last but one. Love is the greatest because love never fails. Somebody say with me, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8, New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8, it says, love never fails. Will you say it again with me? Love never fails. All right, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Do you know of prophecies that have failed before? Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But ladies and gentlemen, love never fails. Say it again with me. Love never fails. Look, here is the thing. I am wondering whether we will need faith when we get to heaven. I mean, think about it. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now, when you can see the thing, you wouldn't need faith in a certain sense, because it is the evidence of things not seen. When we get to heaven, we are going to see God, and we are going to see a lot of things. A lot of things will become clearer to us. So then you wouldn't need faith in that sense to relate with God. Hope. You see, when we get to heaven, when we get to the other side, hope is about expectations. But when you get there, expectations would have been met. They would have been realized. So what do you need the hope for? But as for love, it will never cease. Love is eternal. And love will always be there. That's why the Bible says love never fails. It will never end. It will never expire. It will never become obsolete. There will never be a time in eternity where love will never be needed. Because God is love. Hallelujah. So love is the greatest because it never fails. And the last one, love is the greatest because it sums up and satisfies God's law. Love is the greatest because it sums up and satisfies God's law. Do you have that? Love is the greatest because love sums up and satisfies God's law. Romans 13 verse 10. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. What it means is that if you are walking in love, if you are operating in love, then you are fulfilled the law of God. Matthew 22 verse 35 to 40. One of them, an expert in religious law, New Living Translation, tried to trap him, Jesus, with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then look at how he concludes. He says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And these two commandments are commandments about what? Love. So he was speaking to people whose scriptures at that time were the law, the books of Moses, the Psalms, and then the writings of the prophet. That was their Bible then. And Jesus is explaining that every demand and every requirement that you find in the entire law. Now, the law, you know, the law of Moses had 613, I think so, 613 different laws, 613 or 630. I keep mixing them up. Different laws. And they were not easy laws to fulfill. And the law of Moses required people to do so much, which they were not able to do. And God knew that they would not be able to do it. That was why there was a redemption plan in place. And in the fullness of time, Jesus had to come, because Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. But we are seeing also something else, which is the fulfillment of the law. And it makes sense, because Jesus is love. So if Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and Jesus is love, it means that love is the fulfillment of the law. Hallelujah. So we can see here that anything that God expects us to do, if love becomes what drives us and pushes us and influences us, then we'll be able to fulfill all of God's commandments and instructions. It's about love. That's what it is. You can summarize everything that God expects of us by that wonderful word called love. Hallelujah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if we ask that why is love the greatest, there are six reasons we can give for that. The very first one is that at the core of God's nature is love. That is why love is the greatest. Number two, love is the greatest because God's love is the reason why salvation was made possible. Number three, love is the greatest because love is the measure by which everything else is valued. Number four, love is the greatest because the true sign of a follower of Jesus is love. Number five, love is the greatest because love never fails. And finally, love is the greatest because it sums up and satisfies God's law. I pray that with this teaching and exposition, you now have a clear understanding and conviction as to why love is the greatest. And I want to urge all of us that let's purpose and determine to walk in love, because that is what God requires of us. That is God's marking scheme that he will use to judge and weigh each and every one of us. So anytime we have an opportunity to walk in love or to show love and to demonstrate love, let us not hold back. If you have an opportunity to do good to somebody, including your enemy, including somebody who has despitefully used you, including somebody who has attacked you, who has harmed you, who has spread vicious stories about you, if you have an opportunity to do good to even such a person, do it. Because that is what will demonstrate that you are actually a follower of Jesus Christ. God bless us all, and let us bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father, for tonight and the opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for the understanding that we've gained tonight about why love is the greatest. You expect us to walk in love. And Jesus, you explained that the two greatest commandments are commandments to love. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our souls, and with all our minds. And then also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Father, I pray that in this month of February, considered a month of love, I pray that you would help us to step up in our love lives. Help us to walk in love. And help us to understand that ultimately it all comes down to love. May we improve in our degree of love to the glory of your name. And in Jesus' name have I prayed with thanksgiving. And everybody shall say amen. All right, give Jesus a big hand clap. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.